Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So again, yesterday you had the Senate Republicans doing their foolhardy best to make sure that income inequality continues, just as well as it's been. You know, make sure that women don't get paid the same as men. We can't have the Paycheck Fairness Act because, as Mitch McConnell said, it's a, how did he put it, the left's parade of liberal wish list stuff. That's good old Mitch. Scary times. But here's the thing. Inequality is very real. We see families who are struggling every day. And it's not just the poor and the low-wage working class. It's folks who have actually, over the last couple of decades, done pretty okay. Their wages haven't kept up, but they were significantly high enough that they could make ends meet. Problem is that's kind of rolling back, which is why I'm thrilled to see the good folks over at Capital in Maine have been on this campaign, the 50-100 pay gap program that they're doing. And one of the stories that they look at is just that. The families who are doing okay, but they're wondering, how are the kids going to make this? That's why I've asked Jessica Goodhart to come talk with us. Jessica is a senior reporter there at Capital in Maine. Her most recent piece, How an American Family Raised on GE Wages Copes with Income Inequality. Jessica, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So that's an interesting question. You know, how is it that someone who, General Electric paid really good wages, and I've got friends who used to work at the locomotive plant in Erie until they shut that down. But these are people who did really well. How are they going to make it?
Yeah, no, great question. So you mentioned in your intro the 5100 project, and I just wanted to unpack a little bit for your listeners what that refers to. Last fall, the RAND Corporation released this really interesting study that documented the full extent of the income shift since the 1970s from the middle class and the working class to the wealthiest Americans. We all feel it, but they kind of came up with a number that I think is really illuminating, and that is that a full-time worker currently earning the national median wage of about 50 grand would be making close to $100,000 now if the country's economic growth had continued to be shared over the last 45 years,
yep,
the way it was in the decades after World War II. So that's a $50,000 kind of productivity gap. And what we've done at Capital Maine, we've set out to document why this has happened from a policy perspective, the decisions that people made. It wasn't just this sort of global forces. There were actual decisions that were made that led to this shift, this income shift, but also what it means to people from different occupations and walks of life. And the story that you referred to, that's my story, is about a particular family in Lynn, Massachusetts, a father, a daughter, and a son, Wayne McCall and his two children, Kathleen and Kevin, who I had the opportunity to meet Wayne and Kathleen and then talk to Kevin, who lives in Maine, actually, over the phone. And they're such an interesting family because they've been with the Riverworks plant there in Lynn for five generations, actually.
Wow.
And they've really seen the sort of rise and, decline of those GE wages. Wayne McCall, who's the father in the story, he started at the bottom in the late 60s, cleaning metal scraps from, he said he was a trash collector, cleaning up from in the plant. And when he retired, he was one of the highest rated inspection jobs, and he talks with great pride about the skills he gained while he was working there. He raised four children, has a house that he owns in Lynn. He has a summer place in Maine. He has a boat. A really nice life that he was able to build.
Live the American dream.
In that plant, it's the American dream. Exactly. And I was just listening to this, and so it's partly, it's certainly the to living standards, but also just a sense of pride in the work and the real loyalty to the company, and you know, and an expectation of loyalty in return. And his daughter, you know, sort of got a piece of that too. She's a machinist, very proud of her skills and her work, and she makes a pretty good wage as well, about $35 an hour. It doesn't go as far because of the high cost of living now, as does her, you know, as she feels like things are more expensive. And I think because of the cost of housing, the cost of healthcare, everything feels more expensive, and that's that sort of productivity gap, right? She'd be making more, and you can sort of look at the RAND Corporation study to see that she'd be making, I think, about 30% more, you know, given the sort of income percentile, if she were, you know, productivity growth had kept pace with wages. But still, she's doing, you know, she's doing pretty well compared to many, many in the workforce, and she knows it. But here's the thing, and this is what she really emphasized in the story. There were, you know, she was concerned for her children, I think, as you mentioned. She was concerned because in 2016, there was a union agreement, a wage concession that the union was made to keep jobs in Lynn. There has been over many decades an offshoring work in the plant. So I was told by the local president there that I believe in the 1950s there were maybe in all of Lynn about 24,000 jobs that, you know, that GE provided. I think some of them might have been not just at the plant, and then, you know, now they're just a few thousand jobs at the plant. So there's been a huge decline in the number of jobs. And so the union, to keep jobs there, they agreed to a contract that meant that new hires, instead of making, would make significantly less, right? And so that there was big wage concessions. And the other thing is that while, you know, Kathleen, you know, has this pretty good job, her brother, he had the misfortune of graduating from trade school when Jack Welch, who was nicknamed Neutron Jack, yep, some of your listeners might know, was CEO, and he was unable to get a job at GE. And so he had a much different trajectory and a much different story, which I talk about in the piece.
No, and it's, you know, it's the story of a lot of families, and why I think there's such economic anxiety and such struggle in this country. And, you know, I tell the story all the time that, you know, when I started working in the freight industry back in, you know, the late 80s, I was making, you know, 15 bucks an hour to start. And if you did, you go to the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics inflation calculator, that's like 32 bucks an hour today. So it goes right in line with what the RAND Corporation has come around with. It goes right into line with what you're saying. You know, back when unions were much stronger, back when we had a tax code that was much saner, back before we had horrible trade agreements and funded the exodus of manufacturing jobs from this country, we had significant bargaining power and wages, benefits, and all of those things were better. And we've seen them not just stagnate, but decline over the last couple of decades.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, what you can do, and maybe we'll be able to have produce something interactive for this project, but you can sort of, if you read the story, you can actually also press on a link to the RAND study, and there's a chart that shows the different wage, I guess they're quartiles or whatever, like where you land, and you could say, well, what would I be making if income had increased along with productivity? Wow, I'd be making, you know, 20-30% more than I am now, because no matter where you are, unless you're in sort of the top percentile, you would be making a lot more, because the productivity is not being shared along the wage progression as it once was. Like, we're not all growing together as we once were. And what's kind of interesting too about this particular plant is that it's they've built airplane engines, and their customer is you know, for military, they, you know, the, you know, their customer is often the federal government. They do, you know, but they do also build engines for foreign governments. But it's just interesting too, because they, and this doesn't really come out in the story so much, but they are receiving a lot of government money too. And that's a point that was brought up to me by, you know, various people that I, who I interviewed for the story.
Yeah, which is, again, you know, when I talk about using our tax dollars to raise working mm-hmm. conditions, this is part of why I think it's important that we attach conditions to the spending, that we our procurement spending, so that we do raise conditions, even if the corporate CEOs don't want to.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a campaign right now in the town of Lynn to try to get General Election to reshore jobs. And, you know, you can see signs in the windows of businesses that say, love us, don't leave us. And, you know, they're, you know, the businesses, the local businesses understand that the fate of that community is very much tied to the plant there in Lynn. So, you know, it's a story that is, could be, you know, it's about that town, but it could be about, like you said, Erie or some other town in Pennsylvania or other, or Ohio or anywhere else. You know, that has, you know, an industrial-based economy. Yeah.
It's about every one of those small communities across this country that Donald Trump went mm-hmm. to and won over by, you know, telling them that he was going to bring back their past, that he was going to bring the factory back, that they were going to make those life-altering wages that are going to be able to make sure that they can buy a house, put their kids through college, take vacations, buy cars, buy, you know, a summer home up in Maine and a boat and all of those other things. And that, right. that American dream that was once possible through the sweat of your labor and solid working class values and the strength of unions, has been stripped away, and it happened, you know, quickly. I would argue this stuff, it wasn't a slow grind. This stuff happened, you know, 1980 forward, in my view, was just the decimation of the working class as we deindustrialized, you know, communities across this country. And I watched it happen growing up in Cleveland. You know, Cleveland was an industrial powerhouse, and it was stripped of its economic might for first southern states and then right on out of the country.
Yeah, no, it's and the town of Lynn, you know, has this incredible tradition that goes back actually to the, you know, all the way back to the 19th century of, you know, working class struggle and so on. And so I think it's, you know, these are, I think you do a great job on your show of really talking not only about the present, but sort of linking it back to the, you know, to the history. And I think what was so interesting to me too is that this was a family that really had a sense of its own, you know, their own history. And
that's
so, like
legacy.
Kathleen said to me, their own legacy. That Kathleen said to me, you know, I have my grandmother's, you know, badge that she wore at GE. You know, that's, you know, that's. But she's not going to recommend that her children work at GE. So there was a sense of that tradition dying out, and you know, not just the decision of the decisions that the company is making, but sort of the decisions that the workers themselves are making about, you know, whether there's a future in manufacturing, and you know, and you know, very skilled work, you know, that these folks are doing.
Yeah, it's interesting though. You know, you talk about you know generational work, and you know, just in the last hour, I talked about, you know, a kid that I had met who, you know, he's going to be the first kid to graduate from college, who said, you know, look, my grandfather wanted to go to college, he couldn't. And my father, you know, he wanted to, you know, went off to war and that stuff. He said, I'm going to be the first to graduate. But I don't have any choice but to graduate, because the place that, you know, grandpa and the father went back to, the mill in town, it's gone. So the last hope is to get an education. I'm glad that they have the option of maybe going back to a lower paying gig there. And that's sadly what's happened all across the country. We've seen contracts that have sold out the unborn and future employees so that we can maintain and give the corporations what they need now, but at the cost of the next generation. And that's kind of sad to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, the union president I spoke to, he did emphasize that there's a very strong trade school and pipeline, you know, there, and that there has been investment in the Boston area and in the trade school. And so, you know, it's there. I think the feeling, you know, the feeling that was being expressed by Kathleen DeSisto, the woman featured in the story, is just that the sense of the lack of commitment on, you know, on the part of the employer. And one of the things I think that was interesting, I mean, you mentioned about college. I think within that family, I think there are four children. I think at least one or maybe two of the adult children in the family, you know, had gone to college, and certainly, but some of them really wanted to be in the trades, you know, and so some people want to go to college, some people want to be in the trades. And So, you know, it's just, they're different pathways, and, you know, and certainly they felt like it was such an important pathway for their family to have, you know, to have that option. You know, one of the people featured in the story, Kevin McCall, decided to move up to Maine, and he struggled. He's had like 11 different jobs and has not been able to save. Finally, in his 50s, he's, you know, cobbled together enough to buy a house where he's going to live with his two adult, you know, young adult children. And, you know, you sort of contrast that to his father's story, who bought a house in his 20s, you know, when, you know, after he got his job at GE, and you really see the difference. Is this, I think, as you said in your introduction, is this like the most, you know, heart-wrenching story of hardship you've ever heard? No. But, you know, it really shows, you know, it shows the decline of the American dream, like what, you know, what was and what is so different. And I think the way they experienced, the way Kevin McCall talked about his hopes and dreams about getting a job at GE, and his, you know, deep disappointment and not being able to get in the door, was really interesting to me. You know, it was really spoke a lot about how, you know, what these jobs mean to, you know, folks in these communities, and I think, you know, kind of what we're, you know, and what we're dealing with in this country. And I think not everyone's really in touch with it.
Which is why I'm a big supporter of reshoring our manufacturing, firing up trade schools again, giving people the option and the ability to make good, solid, you know, middle class, life sustaining wages in these jobs, and the pride that comes with it. I mean, you talked about the pride that, you know, this family has and being part of that company. And sadly, you know, and I've talked about this for years, the compact between the working class and the employers has been long broken. Sadly, we're just, you know, negatives on a balance sheet, easily discarded. And for me, this is part of what has to change.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for reading the story and talking about it. And I hope your listeners will check out our series, because we should have a lot more in exploring, you know, lots of different types of occupation. We have stories about a social worker, actually, and it's a similar kind of story, believe it or not, where things have gotten, you know, much harder, you know, family of social workers, where, you know, from one generation to the next, it gets
looking forward
more
to that coming out as well.
Yeah.
We're going to get links out
up,
on social media.
Up. Yeah.
We'll get links out on social media so folks can check out the story. You guys are doing great work. Keep it up. I hope you'll come back and share some more with us.
Okay. You take care. Thank you so much.
Good stuff. Thank you, Jessica Goodhart. The piece, How an American Family Raised on GE Wages Copes with Income Inequality. We'll get links out on how you can take a look at that. Gonna take a quick break. Right back. Stick around and listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.